What do you do when your job is taken by a robot? Where does all your e-waste go? How do you split your digital assets when you break up with your partner?
This is Think Digital Futures. Each week, an exploration of the moral and mind-boggling questions that face us in the digital age. Tune in Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Tuesday evening at 6:30. You can also listen on your favourite podcast app. Just search for Think Digital Futures.
And now it's time for Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk about,
All things
theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Yes, and we better jump straight in because there's so much coming up tonight on Stages. I'm Regina Botros. In the studio with me, Roderick Chambers.
Good to see you back, Regina.
Chris Johnson and Pixie Willow.
Hey.
Hi. There's so much coming up on the show tonight. What have we got coming up? We're going to speak to, we'll get a little taste of the festival, Sydney Festival next year, which has just been launched today. All tickets go on sale tomorrow. Well, not all of them. You can buy group tickets tomorrow, but then from Monday.
Mm. And there's Live Works at the Carriage Works.
Live Works, another festival. It's just endless festival talk. Not endless, but also we'll be jumping over to the Guild Theatre, to the director of Boeing. Plus, Trish Stars will be reviewing her play, Sport for Job's End of Blame. So,
jam-packed show.
Jam-packed. Mm. Also, we've got a little track. We'll be playing music that's going on around town as well. Corey Theatre he's launching his album this evening. Here's a little bit of that track.
Galina na tu Thank you.
And that was a track from Corey Theatre's debut album. He's going to be playing tonight, I think, at Lazy Bones in Marrickville. So come along, it should be great.
Terrific. And you're listening to Stages and playing. It's been going on over the weekend, last week, and on in through till the end of this weekend is the Liveworks Festival. We have Tallulah Pierce on the line, the program manager and curator of one of the performances / artworks, The Future Leaks Out, on the line to have a chat about the festival. Welcome to Stages, Tallulah Pierce.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So this The Future Leaks Out comes from a Burroughs quote, when you cut into the present, the future leaks out. So how is the future looking from this cutting that we're having now? What is this work about?
Well, so it's an exhibition that runs over the 2 weeks of Liveworks, and we're now entering the second week. And we've invited sort of 6 contemporary artists to look at our present moment and the kind of the current strains and stresses that we as a kind of a globe are experiencing and make a projection through their work about the kind of future we're building for ourselves. So there's a lot of references to sort of 80s cinema and the aesthetic of dystopia. There's a lot of inquiry about our relationship with the natural world. One artist is looking at plant communication and the way we can sort of psychically embody plants. And another has built an incredible mist installation that allows us to sort of commune with the natural world by breathing in its scent.
Oh, there was a Japanese artist who used to use mist. Is it that, like that sort of thing?
I don't know her name.
But it was one of, she used to use fog rather than mist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is a very fine mist by an artist called Emily Parsons Lord that's sort of sculpturally installed into the carriage deck's foyer. And audiences are invited to sort of step into the middle of a vast pool and have mist rain down on them.
Oh, that sounds
so
nice.
It's a very beautiful experience. Yeah. It's been very well Instagrammed over the last
year. Yeah, I took some photos. So is it like we become the artwork? We are the live part of that performance, is it?
Yeah. So the idea with all the works in the exhibition is that they're a little bit visceral. They have a kind of a bodily relationship with the viewer. So some encourage interaction, while others just sort of, they give you a sort of a kind of innate reaction to them. There's a sculptor included in the show called Louise Zhang, she makes these sort of melty, dribbling, hanging sculptures that look a little bit like props from a horror movie, but also slightly like a melting sweet. So they kind of, they traverse that line between, desire and disgust.
And how's the cast responded to this interesting sort of approach to the audience, I suppose, like incorporating the audience into the show itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think the performance-based audience are pretty bold, and I think people really enjoy work that sort of reaches out to them. So the visitors to the exhibition have, I think enjoyed themselves.
I got along and saw not the other woman, the second woman.
Oh, the second which woman is, was by Nat Randall. Oh, terrific.
Very wonderful, Nat Randall. Yeah, so it was on stage. It was a durational piece of work that went for 24 hours where you watched her interact with different men doing the same scene. Incredible, but my point is that also you, as part of this, you can go along to talks that are happening over the weekend as well and watch or hear about the sort of process behind the work.
So it's an experimental art festival, and experimental art is sort of about when different disciplines collide to make something new, and often that can be sort of perplexing or curious or very engaging, and we find that people really want to talk about it. So across this weekend we have quite a few conversations. Nat Randall, who performed The Second Woman, will be talking with her collaborators to Lauren Carol Harris on Sunday. And we also have an artist whose work is debuting this week, Justin Scholder, who'll be in conversation with our artistic director on Sunday just before her as well.
Terrific. So much to see and do.
And so much to see.
How many different artists are there that are actually working in the Carriage Works?
So, the whole festival, the number of artists and collaborators who build all the works is vast. But this week we have four shows debuting.
Okay. Terrific. Wonderful.
Can you tell us a bit about the Future Leaks Out?
Oh, we just talked about that.
Oh, that was that. Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, sorry.
That was the mist and the different artists relating to it. Well, Tallulah, thank you so much for having a chat with us here on Stages.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Tallulah Pierce there, the program manager. And the festival, there is so much to go on. It's really hard to get in and across it. Like, for example, Mark Harvey from New Zealand is, you know, around the space engaging with people as they walk around. It's an interesting kind of art. It's like live art. It feels like it's sort of on the border between art and performance. It's a terrific, program.
In the House, Cult Film Classics return to Event Cinemas George Street October 27 with the spookiest of horror classics, Poltergeist and Army of Darkness, to celebrate Halloween. They know what scares you.
They're here.
This is my boomstick!
Hosted by Seven's Jabba and Quinny from Supernova, check the full In the House program and grab tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Event Cinemas George Street, sponsors of 2SER.
And we've got a review from Trisha Stars. What have you been going to see, Trish?
I've been to see the play No End of Blame at the Seymour Centre. This is written by Howard Barker and beautifully directed by Damien Ryan, with a fabulously talented cast. Now, basically, it follows the fictional political cartoonist Bela Verisak, who begins his life in Hungary at the end of the 19th century and ends up in England decades later after a stint in Lenin's Russia. Now, it's a man's search for truth through decades of war and social unrest. Now, he's an artist. He's a trained artist, but he decides after all of his terrible experiences of war and social upheaval that the only way to fight is through the political cartoon. And Bella quotes, "I hate oils, studios, manipulating colours inches thick. Give me ink which dries quick, speaks quick, hurts." And this is backed up by the drawings of Nicholas Harding, David Pope and Kathy Wilcox, which are all projected onto butcher's paper at the back of all of the settings of this play. And it really drives along the drama of the play and updates it a little bit to how we are feeling now, especially with the Charlie Hebdo killings. Look, this was written in 1981. It's a punk play. It's a reaction to Thatcherism. So it is a little bit angsty and it's very wordy. I probably would have liked to have seen a little bit of cutting of this play. I also found that Arkos Amat, who plays the lead, Bela Verisak, was a little bit overwrought and kind of hit one level of emotion and then just kind of stayed there. But Danielle King, who played a lot of smaller parts, was a real standout for me, especially in the last scenes where she plays the newspaper editor, Stringer. And these are definitely the best scenes set in the early 70s of the crumbling newspaper. Look, this is an enjoyable and important piece, and it's running at the Seymour Centre until the 28th of October. Thanks. Bye.
I think they're getting high. I don't mind the sunny puddles, it's hot. My socks and shoes will dry. Something's put me in a daze. Did they tell you I got lost today? And I know the streets are numbered. Welcome to New York, they'll say. I think they could tell I was nervous, cause I kept looking down, I kept watching the ground, but I made my...
And you're listening to Stages. That was a little Alex the Astronaut, and they're playing tomorrow evening at the Lansdowne Theatre. Well, on at Rockdale.
Oh, well, it's Boeing Boeing, isn't it? A high-flying comedy, as they say.
Oh, well, a French fast. So fast. No, not fast. A fast fast. So are you. And the most often performed French play anywhere, from what I can tell. We're the director, Sue Stapleton, to tell us all about it. Welcome to Stages, Sue.
Thank you very much.
So is it really the most...
Yes, well, according to my research...
Why do you think that is? What's it about the play?
Question. Yeah, I think it's pure escapism and fun. It's set in quite an exotic period, 1963, and you can have a lot of retro fun with that. I think they took full advantage of that when it was revived on Broadway in 2008 and won Tony's left, right and centre. I think as far as farces go, it's just a little bit different to a lot of the British ones, in that it's just a bit more cheeky, a bit more French. it's got a nice atmosphere about it. You know, this exotic French apartment and this fellow who just gets in over his head and falls from grace in a spectacular way.
Yes, he gets a bit mixed up between his different airline hosty girlfriends, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, you should give us an idea of what the play is about.
Yes, well, Bernard is a sort of a Lothario who juggles three air hostesses, and none of them know about each other, of course, and they all have different flight schedules. But then they all start talking about the Super Caravelle, which will make all their trips quicker, which concerns him a little, but he's got everything under control. And then his friend from the provinces, Robert, comes and adds a little more intrigue to everything and decides to take advantage of the situation, shall we say. And we think the men, you know, we wonder who's going to come out on top. And, of course, you'll just have to come and see them and find out.
And at some point it all comes to a head. Now,
yes.
Sue, can you tell us how you guys are actually playing it differently? Because it's a farce that's been played so many times. How are the Guild Theatre doing it differently?
Well, I love to add little fantasy musical bits and pieces here and there. So I've looked at the era and had a lot of fun with the prologue and other little end of scene twists, and the finale is quite a production number.
Wow, that's exciting.
Well, this goes back to my dance and
have you taught them to dance, Sue?
Pardon?
Have you taught them to dance?
Well, kind of.
As well as you could, it sounds like.
Well, Bernard is, Nathan Farrow, who plays Bernard, is a veteran of musicals, and he certainly knows how to cut a rug.
Oh, yeah. So, is it a French tune? That wasn't an accent. No. is it a French tune that you're using?
Well, I've looked at the era, and because he's a sort of cosmopolitan, savvy kind of guy, we've looked into the sort of bossa nova,
the seductive side rather than the...
Well, it's the fun. There might be a little bit of Elvis.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's
cool.
One for your money.
But not the rock and roll Elvis.
Oh, terrific. It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it must be one of those ones that you just, you know, love being there all the time just to play it. Terrific.
And there's not that many doors, is there, Sue? It's only a two-door farce.
Really?
Or is there or the oven door, I suppose?
Seven doors.
Seven, is it?
Seven doors, right.
So we have a lot of fun with that.
Terrific. Well, thanks, Sue, for joining us.
Great. Thank you very much.
Terrific. Boeing Boeing is playing at the moment at the Guild Theatre.
Well, I think it starts on Friday.
Until?
November the 25th.
Boeing, Boeing. That was Sue Stapleton, the director there, joining us.
This week at the Bank Hotel in Newtown, Uncle Hops is celebrating Sydney Beer Week with a series of craft beer-focused events. You can meet the newest homebrew legend, vote for your favourite brewery in the State of Origin beer battle, or come along to the launch of Uncle Hops' very own beer. Sydney Beer Week is on now. Head to bankhotel.com.au for more info. The Bank Hotel Newtown, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
And you're listening to Stages. That's a little Z-Star Delta, and they'll be playing at the Basement tonight. Well, Sydney Festival is launching this evening. It's launched its new program for January next year, and we have the Artistic Director on the line to have a chat about it. Wesley Enoch, welcome to Stages.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So where do we start with such a big festival that runs? It's running from the 6th to the 28th of January. What is the theme, or I think more than one theme this year? What is the theme of the festival?
It's one of those things you go, I don't start off with themes.
No.
I kind of go, what are the themes? But it's interesting as I travel the world and see shows and talk to people, certain things start to come out. Like the whole idea of refugees and people seeking asylum and safety in the world, that's a big idea. And this idea of how to transfer culture, how to make sure that the cultures don't die out in that process as well. That's being big. I think the idea of the role of women and feminism and women's voices have been very important too, especially when you've got a president who talked about pussy grabbing, and the Harvey Weinstein thing.
Yeah.
It's even more important to look at how do women, how are they respected? How are women given the control and influence that they rightly deserve, has been something that's just naturally evolved in a little while. I think overconsumption too has been big. The environment has been big, especially climate change. And ultimately, for me, there's always this issue of coming back to Indigenous rights and sovereignty in this country as well.
Back home. So, for example, the Town Hall Affair what's that piece of work?
Yeah.
Or what is
the Worcester Group.
Domain Group? Yeah.
Yeah, it was the group who are a very well-regarded experimental theatre group from New York. They've gone back to look at a conversation between, a number of people, but there's Germaine Greer and Norman Mailer. So in 1970, Germaine Greer wrote The Female Eunuch, and in 1971, Norman Mailer wrote a response in Harper's Magazine talking about where are the men in feminism. And there was a town hall meeting, because there was huge furor about it, and a documentary then was made of that called Town Bloody Hall. So the Worcester Group have gone back to the 1970s as a way, I think, of talking about, where have we come from in terms of feminism? What are the big conversations and things? And we're putting that on stage, and we're getting Germaine Greer out. So she's coming out to see herself performed on stage, and she'll be giving a keynote address as well. So one of those things where you just go, whatever she says, I don't know what she's going to say, but you know it's going to be important because she's that kind of thinker. So that's a really big thing. But we've also got Pussy Riot coming out to do a performance.
Woohoo!
So, can't wait.
Girls are cheering.
Well, and they're great. There's also a show called Wild Boar, done by three fantastic, they're female artists, but that look at the role of the critic in the reception of women's work. There's also Fleabag from the UK, which, again, is looking at, let's call it a young woman's life, but her idea of the world as she sees it. And I can see it as a bit of a thread throughout the whole festival, that there's this sense of how women get to define their own position in the world and on their terms. And these shows are really an example of that.
Mm, very interesting. Is there anything particularly sort of unusual, you know, out of the norm being played through the festival, Wesley?
Oh, well, look, you could say that almost everything's out of the norm. That's the role of the festival, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
A couple of things that people should keep an eye out for. There's a piece called Munro and Associates. It's where you get a character called Frankie Munro, male or female, and you've just woken up from a coma, and you're the one single audience member. Well, in fact, you're not even an audience. You're part of the show, and you get locked into a caravan with all the clues in there, and there's an actor on the end of a phone line who can play any character you want. So you can ring up and say, I want to talk to the Pope or something, and the actor plays the Pope, and they improvise with you.
I love it.
All the way through.
It's extraordinary. Hilarious.
And I was in there for 2 hours with this show. Amazing.
Wow. So it's a durational piece of work where it happens over a period of time, but for short spaces, is that the sense of it?
Well, it can happen over an hour, or it can happen over 2 hours.
Okay.
It's truly a responsive improvisation. Mm. There's you as the audience member and one actor kind of shaping the narrative as you go. That's a pretty amazing work.
Okay. We've talked about a few international acts. Can we come back home? What are some of the home highlights?
Oh, some home highlights?
Yeah.
Force Majeure, who are doing a show called You Animal You, which is looking at the animal instincts in human beings. That's a pretty amazing dance piece. It'll be down at Carriage Works. Gautier is coming to do a tribute show, if you like, to the early pioneers of the synthesizer.
Oh, wow.
So getting him up from Melbourne to do that. There's also another tribute show for 16 Lovers Lane is the name of the show. It's the Go-Betweens' final album. And so there's a big concert as a tribute to that album and also the Go-Betweens and their influence in Australia. Oh, my God.
So much.
Oh,
my goodness.
This one I wanted to ask about, Wesley, is that, you know, do you have to get your flippers and goggles in to see that Aquasonic underwater show? How's that work?
Well, there are 5 aquariums on stage. Each with a performer in it and with a series of musical instruments. The company Between Music, who come from Denmark, they have been researching scientifically how sound moves underwater. And so you'll sit high and dry in the seat watching these 5 performers timing their singing and playing of musical instruments with their breath. So they have to. There's no kind of scuba gear or anything. They have to kind of breathe. They have to get up, take the breath, come down, play their musical instrument or sing, and then back up again to have another breath. So it goes back and forth.
Wow.
But
it's visually quite striking as well.
But the actual sound is being transmitted through the water, is that?
Yeah, there's microphones on the tanks, and so as the vibrations come to the glass, I guess, of the tanks, then it transfers and you get it amplified in the auditorium.
That'd be a really interesting sound, I would think. So.
Wow.
I kind of like to think of it as like whale music a little too.
We're almost out of time. Yeah. So you've got obviously theatre, dance, visual art, music, all kinds of things going on all over the city and in Parramatta as well this year again. In Hyde Park.
Circus City's out there. Circus
and Gorcha.
Are going out there with Model Citizen. That's a pretty great show too.
Barangaroo, all kinds of
Barangaroo
locations
of
around
and
Sydney.
Just to remember things, not everything you have to pay for.
That's right.
The bulk of our audience, almost 2/3 of our audience, come from free activities. And so you can get to Hyde Park. There's a huge amount of stuff there. There's a single tent, but there's also lots of free things to engage yourself in what we're calling the village sideshow.
Ghost train.
Yeah. I remember at the beginning of the year you had that giant ball pool and that was just amazing. And so that was, you know, that
surprises
was
everywhere.
The most fun I've had.
Well, we better let you go. We've run out of time and you've got a launch to attend. Thank you so much, Wesley Enoch.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The Artistic Director of Sydney Festival, and we'll talk more about that next year. We are now out of time. That's the track I'm going to leave you with. I'm Regina Bochos, Roderick Chambers, Chris Johnson, Pixie Willow. We'll be back next week.
Thanks, Regina.
And we'll walk in circles around this whole block. Walk on the cracks of the same old sidewalks.
Then we'll talk about leaving town. Yeah, we'll talk about leaving. I swear it's the last time. And I swear it's my last try.